Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. We'd love to hear your thoughts about the show. Our email address, indianaweekend@gmail.com. I'm John Strauss. Thanks for tuning in today. We're fascinated around here with small-town life. What is it about some towns, the thriving ones, the idyllic courthouse squares of postcard Indiana? They stand in contrast to so many smaller communities that have fallen on hard times. We know enough of those, the depressing sameness of shuttered buildings, forgotten facades. So the still strong downtowns stand out so much in contrast. We were in Franklin, Indiana, Johnson County, just south of Indy. On a Saturday afternoon, I walked near the courthouse square and soon found myself in Benjamin's Coffee House and Bakery, an 18-year fixture of the Franklin downtown on East Court Street, presided over on this day by co-owner Jay Shively. As you would guess, the days start early in that business.
Typical day starts out at 4:30 or 5 a.m. My daughter-in-law and son come in, do the baking and such, make coffee. We open up at 6:30. And people start coming in. There's a big sense of community around here, and we have a lot of regular local customers. A lot of downtown folks are our customers, you know, and we all kind of use each other's services as we can. And so that's a big deal. I mean, you don't see that in a lot of places, believe me. Day ends at, we serve lunch, big lunch. We survive on our lunches. You can't survive on coffee anymore alone. Used to be able to.
Is this something you always wanted to do, or did you have another career before you started doing this?
I had many careers.
Pick one. That's okay.
Last one was in 2009. I was a consultant industry. In the manufacturing industry, and 2009, all of our contracts disappeared when the automotive industry took that big downturn, and everything pretty much dried up around here. And so this place came available. My daughter-in-law saw it, and I just started running the numbers and didn't really think we'd ever get it. It's not really anything that I ever wanted to do, but I always liked working with people, and it's what my mom and dad did most of their lives, was worked with the public and had a small neighborhood store in Greenfield. So
you didn't have to like people. I mean, you couldn't do this if you...
Well, it's you know, it's not like other places, big shopping Walmart, where you might get upset, but where else are you going to go? You still got to go back in there. People get upset here, they don't have to come back. So really, we see people who are nice and smiling, and, you know, so it's a different... different kind of deal, you know. And there isn't very many small coffee houses like this around anymore. There's only two on the south side of Indianapolis anyway. So
I would think it has to be a tough business. You can't make that much money selling coffee.
It's very hard, but we make ends meet. I mean, we've done this 4 years, and the place has been here 18, so we got a lot of recipes from the previous owner. And
You have a bakery as well?
Oh, yeah. It's a bakehouse. We have a big oven in the back. We bake. But, it's hard to make money. The buck stops here. Everybody else gets to raise their prices to you, and you can't really do that to the customer necessarily. So you have to be very good in keeping your business and keeping your margins tight and knowing what you're doing.
For people who haven't been to Franklin for a while, this downtown looks pretty good.
Yeah, there's a lot of work to keep it looking this way and develop it. A lot of good folks who are definitely interested in Franklin itself and the well-being, work on that. A lot of good local merchants. We have a good community. You know, a lot of us stay in touch and patronize each other, and it's not like any other community I've been in.
Well, the pattern in a lot of places is that a big box store opens up out by the highway and the local businesses get hurt. Have you had any of that here?
Not really. I mean, I'm sure you know, if you put a clothing store, a hardware store, I don't know, that might be something that might not make it. But food seems to make it.
What are they doing right here? Do you ever think about that? Do you ever go to other towns and you see a lot more boarded up storefronts?
I see them. I don't really know why, other than they have that lack of community that exists here. I don't know why that is, honestly. Seems like something that has grown through ages and ages, and I'm not sure. I haven't been able to figure that one out. Or I have a business in every community and try to work at that.
Does it help that you're a college town? Do you get much trade from the students?
No, we close at 4:30. We get a little bit of business from that, but we've tried to do a lot of things to get them downtown, and we're still trying to figure that out.
That's Jay Shively, one of the owners of Benjamin's Coffee Shop and Bakery in downtown Franklin, Indiana. They're a local favorite. In just a bit, the life of a small business owner today is more complicated than you might think. But just ahead, the Delaware County principal thinking very hard about mental health.
Let me espresso, my love. Cafe. I'm in love with a coffee bean. A Tanzanian pea, berries, salabies, galosi is what I've been to be. No, recaffeinated, doubly cap or a half a caffeinated for me. Cause I want a latte, 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 latte. I want a lot of caffeine.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
Good, now slow that down.
I know, I can't. That's what I'm saying. I don't have a good voice. This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio. Is that slower?
Sounds like a hostage tape.
Because if I'm smiling, I talk fast. Okay, one more time. This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
Mental health is getting a closer look these days. Parents are entitled to wonder about the safety of their children in school and about what can be done for youngsters in crisis. At Delta Middle School north of Muncie, Principal Thomas Johns is sponsoring a series of community forums on the topic. His background includes time as a special needs teacher for children with disabilities and as a mental health worker. He spoke with contributor Ian Shepard.
I have a background in mental health, and that was a key piece to helping me understand a lot of the kids I deal with, and to this day I value that experience. So I've as long as I've been in education, I've used those tools as far as what I've learned in my special ed background and my mental health background to do the best that I can.
Can you tell me a little bit about what the lectures entail?
The first lecture we just finished Wednesday, and we had a really good turnout for their first one. So that one was curbing misbehavior in your children, dealing with unwanted behaviors in your children, and Meridian Services did that. The next lecture, mental health lecture, is going to be February 27th, and that is Families Overcoming Stress. Likens Counseling will be doing that. And then March 20th, it's the day before we go on our spring break. That one is going to be Substance Abuse Education, and Meridian Services will be doing that one. And then our last date is April 24th, and that one's to be announced, and I'm still waiting for some good insight from the community on what we want to do. So I want to plug those dates. Come on out to Delta Middle School. We'll have some free food and good conversation. Lecture's only about an hour, and bring anyone that you want to.
What brought this interest in mental health about?
It was kind of one of those things where, as a principal, you sometimes forget why you went into it. You know, what was the motivating factor for me to get into education? What molded me into, you know, my morals, my values, my beliefs as a principal? And it's not an easy job. It is the hardest thing I have ever done in my entire life. And so, you know, I've been doing some reflecting as of recent, and just kind of clicked with me that, you know what, I haven't really been exploring or educating people about that mental health aspect, which was so much of a foundation of where I came from. So it was just kind of a perfect opportunity to kind of go back to that and try to bring it back to the forefront so that people understand that, these are important issues. You look at a lot of these shootings that have happened in these schools, and, a lot of them are people that have mental issues. And as long as we can educate ourselves about what's going on with our students, then it puts us in a better position to help them, not only educate them, but to just help them.
Do you personally involve yourself with the mental health of your students?
I don't deal with the discipline issues that I used to. A lot of the things that I do involve, you know, teacher evaluation, overall management of the building, budgets, things like that. But I still deal with discipline issues here and there. And this has always been my approach is you have to know why a kid is doing what they're doing. Otherwise, you're just putting a Band-Aid over, you know, a bigger wound. Once you can figure out why a kid's doing what they're doing, then that's when you can start to see the seeds grow that you're planting, whether it be some advice, whether it be to take an approach with a kid. Again, once you take time to get to know that kid, there's always a reason why that kid is doing that undesired behavior that you're trying to redirect.
I read in an article that you said that you see around middle school, that's when students start, I can't remember the phrase, falling apart.
It's kind of a spur of the moment quote, but it's very accurate in my opinion. Most of my experience in education was at the high school level. Now, middle school is a little bit different. Some kids just do things sometimes that they don't know just because they're, you know, children that are trying to reach on to adult values, but yet are right there in the middle, you know. So middle school throws me a curveball sometimes because they're right there in the middle, and they sometimes don't know why they do what they do. They just kind of act on impulse. But again, if you get families involved and try to get to the root of it, it gives you a little bit more of an understanding of how to help them. And that's, as a parent, I have a six-year-old, a two-year-old, and a seven-month-old. I am going to be very involved in their upbringing and education. And I do know that my kids are going to be like me, and I pushed boundaries. I was ornery, and I want to make sure that I let them know that I'm here for them at all times, but also that if they step out of line, there's a consequence for it. I'm only doing this because I love you.
Principal Thomas Johns of Delta Middle School talking with contributor Ian Shepherd. Those upcoming sessions on mental health are February 27th on Families Overcoming Stress, March 20th on Substance Abuse Education, and an April 24th session. For more information, just Google up Delta Middle School near Muncie.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss, right here on Indiana Public Radio.
We love coffee shops, don't we? Here's a quiz. How many Starbucks coffee shops do you think there are in the United States? Maybe 5,000? 10,000? How about more than 13,000 Starbucks in the U.S.? Unbelievable growth for a business fueled by a bean and a dream. Well, there are many other coffee shops that are locally owned, of course. We love the local places here at Indiana Weekend. Often some of the most original, eclectic businesses you can find. Some people dream of owning a place like that, maybe like Benjamin's Coffee Shop and Bakery in the beautiful Johnson County town of Franklin, south of Indy. Jay Shively owns the business with other family members. Yes, he says, he's heard of the coffee shop dream, but every day he lives the reality.
I'll bet that you, from time to time, hear from people go, coffee shop, that would be a great business.
Sure, they think that it's they get to stand behind the counter, drink coffee, and talk to people all day. And, of course, there's a lot more than that to it. Hardest business I've ever been in. I've been in a lot of them.
What do most people not realize? Well, you're baking, so you've got to start the day early. But and the size of your transaction is not very large, so you have to have a lot of them.
Correct, yeah. I think what most, even the ones who have background in cooking, for example, they don't really understand. One of the biggest issues is the taxes. And most people get into trouble real fast with taxes, tax payments, because there's a lot of it to pay. You got to collect it all and pay it all. And a lot of that's based on how many employees you have, but it's also based on how much money you make. And, you know, I think that's the thing that people fall short on. New in business. The other thing is, before you even start up your business, doing a marketing study. You know, I see more and more people say, oh, you know, they don't have this in that town, but we could start one and make all kinds of money. Well, that doesn't mean anything. I've seen many, 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 many people fail because of that. So I don't really know how you do a marketing study on a lot of things, but, you know, you have to get some kind of an idea if it's going to fly, you know, before you start it up. So.
Before this, you were in manufacturing as in engineering, marketing, sales?
Really a consultant in environmental and health and safety on the last bout I had. I've been a maintenance technician in industry. I've been a heavy equipment mechanic. That was my first thing I ever did. Mostly in every area had something to do with troubleshooting in one area or another, and I've just transferred those skills.
So to do what you do, to run a business like this, and these aren't people coming in off the highway, new faces all the time, it takes a special kind of mindset, doesn't it?
Yeah, we don't. There's not a lot of people from new people that come in. We just become part of the local community.
You're used to solving problems.
There's always things in this business that, you know, whether it's machinery breaking down or something that you have to tinker with to get running or the building itself.
I hadn't thought of that, but yeah. You've got to be somewhat self-reliant.
Yep.
I mean, if you don't, you know, you have to spend more money, and a place this size, 1,000 square feet, doesn't typically have, you know, a lot of income. And we decided, I decided the very first year that I wasn't going to put any more of my cash in the place. It had to float on its own, and it has. So it's been lean at times, of course, but it's survived on its own. And with that incentive, you know, you find ways to save and watch waste and things like that.
Well, we're used to seeing on the news one report about the economy or another. Do you sometimes feel that running a business like this, do you get a sense of when the economy's going up and when it's going down?
We try to keep our prices to a minimum for people, and I think they're probably going to find a way to spend money. I mean, typically what we do see is a change from actually day-to-day, week-to-week on credit card use or, honestly, bills. Sometimes you'll have just tons of fives, you know, where everybody came in and used $5 bills. People come in and use 20s. Typically, that always happens with 20s, but you'll see a big bunch of ones and lower credit card receipts. And so, I don't know why that is. You just see that kind of thing.
When you have a business like this, do you know a lot of your customers by name?
Oh, yeah. You know, by name, you know, actually, you know what they order on a regular basis more than their names.
Being that kind of business guy is a little different than being a consultant and then manufacturing.
Absolutely, yeah. You have, instead of having to bill somebody with an invoice, you have cash to take to the bank every day. That's a big difference. There's always cash.
No 30 days.
Or 45 or worse. Yeah, it's actually why I got out of the business the first time, was because they try to stretch those payments.
Slow pay customers.
Yeah. And you know, you only have so much buffer to live on. You have to do that in that business. Of course, I do that in this business as well. But, you know, you've got to have cash ready when things are lean.
You recommend it? Sometimes people will be in some business their whole life and they go, well, I've always wanted to have a bookstore or a coffee shop.
The thing we had about this place is we didn't start it. It was existing. I wouldn't have started a new one. There's no way. I wouldn't advise that. I just wouldn't advise it. Not maybe here, but not in other communities.
That's Jay Shively, who owns Benjamin's Coffee Shop and Bakery in Franklin, on the travails of the small business owner, but also the advantages of life in a small town, the kind of small towns that dot the Indiana landscape, but have fallen on hard times in many cases. We know so many that are shadows of their former selves, once the center of local identity, then bypassed by the larger highways or stepped on by the big box stores. Nothing against the big box stores. I like a good value as much as anybody. But there's something about that local identity. I guess you could say the parts of a town that don't look the same as everywhere else. This is a great state to drive around, from the dunes up north, the St. Joe River through South Bend, the Blue River Valley in eastern Indiana, the Wabash near Terre Haute, and the fantastic Ohio River shimmering beneath the high bluffs on a sunny day. We're talking in the winter now, so maybe it's a little hard to think of driving down to Nashville or New Harmony, of checking out the historic river towns of Madison or Evansville, or taking the South Shore Railroad into Chicago. But winter doesn't last. People do. Communities do. We just have to make sure we keep visiting to remind us who we are on an Indiana weekend.
Cause I want a latte, 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 latte. I want a lot of caffeine. Caffeine, baby!
I'm Megan, and I'm from Chicago.
Oh, well, what kind of coffee town is Chicago? I mean, you know, you would think there's Seattle, right? Which is a super big coffee place. What kind of coffee drinkers are the people in Chicago?
We mostly drink coffee just black or with a little bit of sugar and cream.
City of broad shoulders. No frou-frou coffee there.
I drink coffee every morning. I maybe have 1 to 2 cups. I usually have like Folgers regular coffee, and then I add a little bit of cream and 2 sugars. Just regular stuff. I don't drink real expensive or anything. Some people have really difficult instructions for their coffee. I don't know why. Just need cream and sugar and a coffee to go.
No, recaffeinated, double decaf or a half a caffeinated for me.
My name's Steve. I'm actually I'm from Indianapolis, and I'm not a frequent coffee drinker.
We're in a break room here, and you have a cup of coffee from a machine.
Yeah, that's right.
Sure, that's recommended.
Well, I haven't done the research personally, but I've heard that coffee can be more beneficial than detrimental to your health if you drink it on a regular basis.
Now, you look like a pretty healthy person. You look like you're really in shape. What do you do?
I'm a personal trainer at a gym in Indianapolis.
So is coffee okay for people who are trying to get in shape? I mean, from what you know?
So long as my understanding is that it's beneficial throughout the day. However, its caffeine has actually been shown to increase clotting. So to take on caffeine immediately before exercise would actually be not recommended.
All right, Stephen, you're a guy's in really good shape. Give me a fitness tip for this spring. One tip. There's one thing I wanted to know, aside from stop drinking my coffee before I go running. What should I know?
They say that fitness, physique anyways, is 75% nutrition. So I'd recommend make a couple of small changes in your diet every day to see progress faster.
So cut down on the fats and stuff and get more exercise.
Not necessarily. Like
I like the way you're going here.
If you drink like one pop a day and you cut that one pop out, in about a week you're going to save yourself enough calories to have lost about a pound.
And that's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman, and our contributor, Ian Shepherd. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Reminder that we need your stories, your ideas for places we should go and people we should talk to. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.